All right, thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 10:33 on WGN. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Ashley, we're going to get Phil Vitale on too, right? And we'll also talk to a restaurant owner and manager who has had some specific thoughts about Grubhub and DoorDash and all of these other food delivery services out there. A lot of people are posting their frustration on the restaurant industry side. I don't know where they were beforehand. I thought that they wanted us to use these services. There is a piece at foodandwine.com, and essentially the guy said, a lot of things you're doing right now are fine. You should be washing your hands. You should be socially distancing. But you should also be deleting Grubhub from your phone.
Well, the restaurants have been saying that the fees have been amounting to almost 30% of the bill.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, and
San
Francisco put a cap on it last week, I think at 10 or 15%.
To which Grubhub then sent a thing out to their users, right? What, Grubhub then told everybody, we've got to fight this cap of 15%. They pushed back as though they weren't getting enough bad publicity to begin with. I don't understand that, Steve. I don't understand how. Do you use third-party delivery services? For
really?
Food?
No, I have never.
I don't.
I
have once or twice, and it didn't go well. I'm like, damn it. When I was a kid, you used to call the restaurant and say, hey, send a pizza. Now I got to create an account, get a username, use this thing, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, just send me some food. So maybe that's just the boomer in me, but I've always been frustrated by it, maybe because I just haven't given it a chance. But if I had known that 30% of what I was going to pay is going to go to the delivery company rather than the food maker, I don't think I would have used him anyway. But I'll tell you something else. There have been times where I didn't feel like I had an option. I've called or gone to restaurant websites, and they say, well, we just use Grubhub. I'm like, all right, well, then maybe I won't order from you today, or maybe I will. But why would they be giving 30% of their revenue away? That just doesn't make any sense to
me. Well, because a lot of those restaurants don't deliver typically, so they're picking up carryout business through Grubhub.
Fair enough.
Or others. There are other outlets that do it too.
Understood. But now that's the only business they've got. They're hanging on by a thread, and they got to give away 30%. So this is the criticism for these other companies who are suddenly probably seeing a lot of money come through their coffers, but maybe they need to just give a little bit of it back right now. They ought to do what the auto insurance companies are doing. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. There you are, Phil. Good afternoon, or morning, rather. How are you?
Morning, John. I'm good.
That's where this conversation is today. What do you want to say about all that, Phil?
Well, first of all, I will applaud the city of San Francisco, which I think yesterday announced a 15% cap on delivery fees for these third-party delivery people.
Yeah, which still, listen, if you can make a living out there, I guess I got no business telling you how much money you get to make and what kind of living you're going to earn, but it seems to me like 15% is fair, especially right now. 15 is not bad.
I can't say numbers, but especially for some operations that doesn't have its own delivery personnel, because you need employees, you need automobiles, you need all that stuff insured, and so it depending on how the numbers work and depending on the kind of volume you can do using delivery, it may work out at certain percentages. I mean, these companies didn't boost their percentages just for this coronavirus crisis. That's just what it's been.
Well,
and for some places, it has been marginally worth it. But especially for new restaurants that never did delivery before and have been forced into the carry-out pickup delivery model, they're looking at 30% and saying, I can't make money like that. I was a tiny margins before.
Joe Flam's on a phone line too, Phil. He's the winner of Bravo's Top Chef season 15. And you know his bio. He was the executive chef at the Michelin star Spiaggia and Cafe Spiaggia. And now he's opening up his own place. Joe, Phil Vitale's on the line. Phil, Joe, say hello. Catch up, guys. How are you?
Hey, Phil, how are you? Long time.
Yeah, I'm good, Chef. How are you doing?
I didn't think this was how it was going to go down, but hey.
No.
Well, I hope you're okay with sharing some time with Phil Vitale. We could hang up on him if you'd like, Joe.
No, always happy to share time with Phil.
Okay,
always.
It wouldn't be the first time, so go for it.
Joe, so you've been listening to this conversation, too. Is there anything you want to add, or do we have it about right here?
Yeah, I think part of it is also, you know, I think one of the things you said was, well, like, why didn't, you know, people care before that they were given 30%? I think part of it is when you're, the restaurant's open, you have people coming in, and you're just saying, well, you're doing what you're regular doing, let's throw in another 10, 20 orders so it's a little bit more money for you. Like, maybe then you're like, eh, okay, whatever, 30%, it wasn't money that we were planning on making anyways. We're already open, we're already doing it, we're already covering our costs. So it's not as big a deal. But now, when you're not open, you're not selling alcohol, you're not able to do any of these things to cover your overhead costs, and your only stream of revenue is, you know, right now they're saying DoorDash is, like, for new customers. And a lot of these aren't for people who, like, sign up, you know, or who are already customers. DoorDash will give you 30 days free, and then they're taking 20%, which is probably one of the best deals of the industry, honestly. And from talking to most restaurateurs, like, you know, they want, you know, like San Francisco's doing, like 15%. Everybody's like 15, you know, 20%, somewhere there. That's kind of reasonable. But like Grubhub, it's 10% charge. They give you 20% marketing fee, and they make you pay the 3.5% credit card fee. So really, they're 33.5%.
Can you make any money? What happens then? So if I order $100 of food, you're going to get $67. Do you do you break even, lose money, or make money on $67?
Well, on $67, you think, you know, your food cost is 30%. Your labor cost is, you know, let's say you're running real low and running with managers. So let's just say it's 5%. So that's 35% there. So as a restaurant owner, you're hoping your rent, your base, everything else has to be less than that last little 30% left for you. And it's just like, you're just not going to make money on that. You're going to lose. So, and I think one of the other things you said, you know, before restaurants would just send you those services, is because we weren't set up for it. And now more restaurants are, you know, people I've talked to who, like a lot of restaurants like Galit and Lincoln Park, they're just doing pickup. Because they're like, we can, you know, use this model to keep people paid, to keep our lights on, to keep the rent paid. But like, if we got to pay 33.5% to a delivery service, like, we might as well just, you know, shut the doors. We're better off just sitting here losing money, you know, than losing even more. And so I think that's a couple of the big issues with it. That's why it's kind of coming to a head right now, is all these people are looking at it and trying to negotiate with these companies, but these companies are basically being like, yeah, this is the deal. And then they go back and they have these ludicrous ads on TV saying, you know, it's our turn to support restaurants, these Grubhub ads. So you're just like, you're charging 33.5%. You're not supporting anybody but yourselves. And, you know, and it feels like for, you know, we're the industry, you know, this, your whole company is built out of the idea of this industry and on the back of these restaurants.
Right.
And in our greatest time of crisis, you're going to put, you know, you put the money into advertising instead of putting it back into the pockets of the restaurant.
Well, if they're not careful, there's not going to be any Grub for them to hub.
Exactly.
No doors for them to dash to. And, you know, Phil, it seems to me like certain kinds of food lend themselves better to the carry out or the delivery business, right?
Sure.
So
pizza.
Right. I was just going to say, lucky you if you're doing pasta or pizza, because that's pretty simple. It stays hot well, and it's not that complicated a food.
Right. And for a lot of pizzerias, they already have their delivery systems set up. So I know, for instance, Lou Malnati's, because I talked to Mark Malnati not too long ago, all their delivery personnel are employees.
Yeah.
They're people. They're trained their way. And so they have, and something else that I bumped into quite accidentally, I was using, I was doing some curbside pickup stuff from a restaurant, and they were working through one of these third-party delivery people, and when I went on the site and started going through it, all of a sudden it shut down. And what turned out is that the restaurant had closed off the third-party delivery service that day because orders were coming in faster than they had the capacity in their downsized kitchen to fulfill.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes these third-party online services, they don't account for that. So suddenly you get slammed with a whole bunch of orders. They're coming over electronically. There's no way to slow down the trickle, anything. And so they just say, almost literally pulling the plug on that and saying, we're just doing pickup for the rest of the night because we've got more orders than we can handle.
That's probably what happened to me, Phil. I, in advance, ordered from Carson some ribs. They're right next to the radio station a couple weeks ago. And I did everything right. I got there. I waited an hour. And I'll bet they just got a ton of people that, you know, wanting food delivered or picked up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And they just didn't have the staff to take the orders, read the orders, or cook the orders, you know?
Yep. Now, when I picked up at another restaurant, and the person at the desk was the one taking the credit cards to pay for the order. He was the one grabbing the bag with your name on it, and he was the one answering the phone.
Huh.
And
yeah.
I fortunately had gotten there at about 6:35 that evening for dinner, and I went out of there saying, I would not want to be a customer here in 45 minutes.
Joe, have you eaten out? Now, Joe, you are in between restaurants right now, right? You're building a new restaurant,
right?
What are you working on? What's your new place going to be?
So we're building a restaurant in Fulton Market at 932 West Fulton, so Fulton and Sagamon. But it's a Croatian-Italian restaurant. But for us, you know, right now, we haven't started construction yet. So we're kind of in a holding pattern to say, okay, you know, like we're going to kind of feel this out and let's see, you know, when we should start. Because we don't know when restaurants are going to be open to the city again. And we're not really doing a concept that, you know, is really leaning itself to do to-go food and delivery food. So it's kind of like, you know, we want to wait till we can get in the clear to really be able to hit the ground running and open, you know, an amazing, robust restaurant.
Well, good luck to you, Joe. You've been nothing but successful. And my guess is somebody like you is going to find the time and the place and the way to make it work. Let's stay in touch and let us know what we can do to help you down the road.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on and talking about this issue.
You betcha. And let's continue to help hardware stores and retail stores and restaurants and anybody else that we can as the economy slows and then trickles back up. Hey, Phil, I did hear kind of a second part to this delivery story. Do you have another minute?
Sure.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. This is WGN. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Phil's been reviewing restaurant delivery and pickups since the virus hit, and we've been talking about these delivery services with the restaurant owner just a moment ago, Joe Flam. He's got a new place, not opened yet, but it'll be interesting to see how he does there. But Phil, I'm also hearing that what some of these companies have done, maybe Grubhub has done this now, is they say, okay, we won't charge a 30% fee to the restaurant. Maybe we won't charge anything. But if you want it delivered, you have to tip, you have to pay as the consumer. So your $100 bill is now not $100, where the restaurant only gets $66. Your bill is now $100 plus the tip. And then the delivery people rather bid on delivering your food if your tip is generous enough. So if you say, okay, $135 to go pick up my steak and deliver it to my house, then you are charged $100 to the restaurant, but you have to pay the delivery person the $35. And the scam is that some people are saying, okay, I'll deliver for $35, but the people are stiffing them when it comes to getting the tip. So they've already paid for the food. They hand you the food, and then you say, yeah, I'll give you $10, but I'm not giving you $30 for that. That's ridiculous. I've heard that's something that's happening out there.
Wow.
How about that?
I hadn't heard that. I have heard of some complaints from people who are doing delivery or even just doing the carryout, and people aren't tipping on that. You know, and there's always that gray area on how much you tip on carryout if you're driving up there and they're bringing you the food. I always tip, and I would urge people now, especially because the chances are that the people who made that carryout meal and made that brought that stuff out to your car are either working seriously reduced wages or seriously restricted hours and might be working for nothing. A lot of managers and restaurants are working without salaries to keep their businesses open.
Okay, so I do that now because of where we are, but 2 years from now or 2 years ago, you're saying if I go to pick up at a restaurant, what's your suggestion that I do tip or how much do I tip?
I guess, you know, if you're going into a pizzeria and all the guy's doing is handing you the box, then just maybe a minimal gratuity would be, I mean, it's always obviously very, very much appreciated. But if you're going to a place where you look and everything is packaged up really neatly and the cold stuff's off to this side and the warm stuff's there and some real effort has been made to make the food as close to a restaurant experience as they can manage, then, yeah, I would reward that effort.
Hmm. Let's go back to Steve Bertrand's question. So say it's $35 the pizza you picked up, Steve.
Yeah.
I would say 10%. $3.50, you're at $38.50. You hand them two 20s. You're going to stand there for an extra dollar and a half, maybe, maybe not. So then you just walk out.
Well,
you gave them $5.
First of all, you're older than me, so you use cash.
Cash are these pieces of paper with presidents on them.
I will say, when I pick up a pizza, and I'll change my ways, I guess. If I pick up a pizza, I don't usually give a tip. If I think the person just handed me a bag with burgers in it, I'm not inclined to tip that.
Do you tip coffee people, baristas?
No.
Sorry, say that again and I won't laugh.
Phil, he likes to make me look cheap.
I don't do that. Uh-huh. I think you do that.
If I go and order, all I ever order is a black coffee, and it's $2.75. I pay with my app or my credit card.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And I don't know.
Well, even if I had a thing to sign, it's a $2.75, I might put in $25. I don't know that I do that. For coffee, I'm usually paying cash. So I just let them keep the next coins. Sometimes I keep the little coins or the big coins and give them the little coins, but we digress. Phil, what else are you hearing about the whole restaurant scene out there? Any other reviews or news that you have for us on how they're doing?
No. The Tribune staff keeps going to curbside restaurants and seeing what they can get in the carry out and delivery realm and writing about that, but we are still all in a sea of uncertainty. The weird thing is the certainty right now is the current situation. We know that there's shelter in place. We know people aren't going out. You know, your dining room's closed, and restaurants are just doing the best they can. The big question and the trillion-dollar question is, what happens when we start to come out from this?
Yeah.
And nobody knows, because, first of all, I think it's absolutely unrealistic to think that we'll come out of this anything but gradually. No one's going to say, ta-da, restaurants, you're open. Even if they could open right away, they're not going to be allowed to. It'll be scattershot. It'll be gradual.
Do you think that the seating will be reduced as well?
I would think so. I would think they will mandate a distance between tables, mm-hmm. which some restaurants will handle easily, and some restaurants will have to reduce capacity. They may just do something more like a blanket. You're allowed to have X number of people in the dining room at any one time, and that's it. Or they might say your capacity, turn that in half, and that's what you're allowed to have.
Yeah, that's.
But I expect something fairly specific, because there's really no mechanism for enforcing that, except for occasionally stopping into a restaurant and shutting them down if they find them in violation. So,
go ahead,
and
Phil.
And then the question is, at what point do the people feel comfortable going into dining
rooms?
There
you go.
People?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's probably de facto going to be 50%, because if I come in and they're packed elbow to elbow, I'm not going to go in anyway.
Right.
So one way or another.
I spoke to someone who does monthly boat, like little cruises, food cruises on the lake during the summer, and they're realizing the first one's coming up in mid-May. And the owner's wondering if do they need to set out an announcement that May mid-May isn't going to happen, but they don't know. Maybe they'll be open. And I said, frankly, I think this problem is going to solve itself, because no one's signing up for a mid-May cruise.
It's 10:54 on WGN. If you go to chicagotribune.com/dining and also on their coronavirus tab, you'll find information about the food business. I'm reading from one article at the Tribune that you are a co-author of, and it has what to order in today. We check out delivery and pick up dishes at Chicago area restaurants. Let's not go into all of it here. I'll just mention some of the sub-headlines. Fine Italian food and plenty of it at Rosebud. Chicago-styled gumbo and sides from Smoke Barbecue. Deep dish pizza baked at home from Lou Malnati's. Craving the normal at Superdog. Socially distanced beer crawl. Steaks, fish, and more from Gibson's. 10 family meals and kits to pick up now. What a good idea. It's all in the Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com/dining. Good to hear you, Phil. Thanks for your time today, my friend. Stay well,
sure
and let's
thing.
Visit again.
I will.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
There goes Phil.